Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Youth Fellowship Online Youth Gospel Mission. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening. We're halfway through our online mission, so we thank you for joining with us. And if you've been watching all week, we especially thank you. This evening, we will have Grace, who will be bringing a word of testimony, and Abigail will be singing, and the Reverend McMillan will be speaking.
Before I start, I would like to read two verses. And if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And here we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My name is Grace, and I was brought up in a home where I was faithfully sent along to church, Sunday school, and children's meetings. Sadly, though, in my early years, the church I attended, I never was told that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. However, at a young age, I was sent along to various children's meetings where I heard the gospel message that Jesus Christ came into the world, that he shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross so that sinners could turn from their sin and trust in him. At the children's meetings, they would have sang a particular chorus called Into My Heart, and on one particular night at the children's meeting, when singing this chorus, I realised I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. After the meeting had ended, I stayed behind with my sister, and one of the workers led me to the Lord that night. I simply asked the Lord to come into my heart and to take away all my sin. I can't remember what age I was, but I knew the peace of the Lord in my heart. However, growing up, I struggled a lot with doubts, one of these being if I was truly saved. I struggled knowing, was it just a profession I'd made or was I backslidden? These doubts really, really troubled me, and I had no contentment and I was not walking with God. The Christian's real contentment and joy is found when walking in the will of God, and I felt I was living a double life, as I was really miserable living the way I was in my sin. So one night, I prayed to the Lord and asked him to forgive me for all my sin and for to forgive me for the way I was living and for him to do what needed to be done in my life. At this time, my family were good to me and took the time to talk about these doubts and show me from God's word about his love and his mercy. And I knew great joy and peace in my heart. And God's word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I can testify that our sins are paid and filled by his precious blood. Here are a couple of verses that I found to be a tremendous comfort. If you could turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37. And here we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And this verse is a great comfort to me, as it basically tells me that those who come to Christ, that he won't turn them away or he won't refuse them. Another one I found to be tremendous comfort is in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 103, verse 12. And here we read, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have we removed our transgressions from us." And this verse brings great comfort, as it basically tells us that the love of God cannot be measured. It's from everlasting to everlasting. The problem was, I kept looking to myself, and I kept looking at all the sins I'd committed. I kept listening to the lies of the devil, and the devil kept whispering in my ear, "How could God possibly forgive you?" When we take our eyes off the Lord, we will be disappointed. But when we have our eyes on him, we will truly be blessed. Salvation is not based on anything that we do, but it's what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. When we are saved to serve, and I am involved in the children's meetings here at our church. And on a Wednesday night, I help out in the bus, and I bring the children in each week to the meeting. And this work has been a real blessing to my own heart, and it's encouraging seeing the children come along, seeing them and hearing them recite their memory verses. And it's my prayer that not only would God write his word upon their hearts, but that they will come to know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour. I look forward to God willing when the meetings are able to recommence again. The Christian life is a blessed life, but it does not mean that we are immune from trials and difficulties. But the difference is, for the child of God, we have the Lord right beside us. He gives you the grace for when you need it. And I feel like the hymn writer has put it so well. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I'm so thankful in time past, when I have faced trials and difficulties, that I've never had to face them alone. I've known God's all-sufficient grace, and it's really during these times that I've really grown in the Lord and learnt to trust in Him, knowing that He cares for me, and learning just to cast all my care upon Him. And He is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. I'm so thankful I have a testimony, and it really is such a privilege to share it. It humbles me thinking what Christ done for me, bearing all my sin and shame, living that perfect life that I could never live. I'd just like to quote you one of my favourite hymns, and it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And just in closing my word of testimony, I'd just like to leave you the words of another hymn. And here we read, "One there is who loves thee, waiting still for thee. Canst thou yet reject him? None so kind as he. Do not grieve him longer. Come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why waitest thou? One there is who loves thee. Oh, receive him now. He has waited all the day. Why waitest thou? Graciously he woos thee. Do not slight his call. Though thy sins are many, he'll forgive them all. He turn to him repentant. He will cleanse thee now. He is waiting at thy heart. Why waitest thou? Jesus still is waiting. Sinner, why delay? To his arms of mercy, rise and haste away. Only come believing, he will save thee now. He is waiting at thy door, why waitest thou?" And perhaps you're tuning into this online broadcast and you're still not saved, you're out of Christ. I just urge you to call upon the Lord, for he will save you, not only save you for now, but for time and eternity, and he will keep you, for he has kept me. And in ending, I just would like to leave two verses, Romans 10, verses 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I'd just like to read you this last verse, 1 John, and it says in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Amen.
It's not what I pray. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are best all along. You you see from heaven. You know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm gonna trust your work, your will and your time. Your ways are higher than mine. When I start to doubt, help me believe. Somewhere so far above me, your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm gonna trust your work, your will and your time. Oh, your ways are so much higher. Your ways are higher than mine.
Hello, everyone. We welcome you along to the youth mission again this evening. We want to thank you for your support. We appreciate you listening in. And we do value your prayers very much for the Lord's blessing to be upon these meetings. There's just two verses of scripture I want to direct your attention to. They're found in Luke's Gospel and the 15th chapter, the verses 13 and 14. Let me just read those verses to you. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And we pray the Lord will bless those two verses to every heart tonight. Let's just seek the Lord together in prayer. Father, we still our hearts. We're conscious of our need. We recognize our weakness. We ask thee to make us a channel of blessing. We do want to lift all of these meetings, these broadcasts, up before thee in prayer. We know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, we need your help. We cry to thee to pour out your spirit. We pray that it might please thee even to use these meetings to bring many to Christ, and use these meetings even as an instrument of revival. So answer our cries, Father, and come and stand with us. Grant us your help. We pray that you'll touch these lips, even to speak of Christ now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of the message this evening is a plea to every prodigal to return. And what we want to do in this message is we want to plead with every prodigal to return, not just to their earthly father, but especially to their heavenly father. Let me remind you that this chapter, Luke chapter 15, is the chapter of lost things. There is the story of the lost sheep, there's the story of the lost coin, and there's also the story of the lost son. What that highlights to us, the whole chapter, is that God is interested, God is concerned about those who are lost. And it's especially the story of the lost son, or the story of the prodigal son, that we want to consider, that we want to focus our thoughts upon just for a little while together this evening. Let me stress that there are still prodigals today. Not just prodigal sons, They're also prodigal daughters. And maybe this is your story. Maybe you are the prodigal in your family. Sometimes people say he or she is a prodigal. In other words, what they mean is they live their life just like this man that we have read about in Luke chapter 15. And maybe you have lived your life as this man did. His story sums up your life as you have lived it so far. And if it does, then what I want you to do is listen very carefully for a few minutes to what this story has to teach us. There's some vital lessons that we want to impress upon your heart from it. I want you to notice, first of all, his love, and especially his love of money. In verse 12 of the passage it says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." The prodigal son loved money. And that's something that is very common. It's something that is very common, especially in our society today. Just think of it. He couldn't wait until his dad had died to get his hands on his inheritance. He was gripped with covetousness. He was grabbing for money. You ask, it's a question that's often asked about this passage. How much money did he actually get? Well, the answer to that question is he got a third of his father's wealth. In the book of Deuteronomy, you learn that the eldest son received two-thirds of the inheritance. So the younger son received one-third. In other words, we could say that this young man received a small fortune. But here's the sad thing, young people. The sad thing is that his heart, his life, was taken up with money. Money was his idol. And perhaps it would be true to say that with you it's just the same. Let me remind you of the warning of the Lord Jesus. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Money is not everything. Money is not the most important thing. Money is not the most valuable thing in this life. And that's a lesson you need to learn. That's something that you need to understand. We pray that you will understand that great truth, even through these meetings. Remember, you can't take your money with you. You will leave it, and you're going to leave it all behind you. Paul said to young Timothy, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out." I want to stress to you this evening, there are things that are far more important than money. Things much more valuable than all the money that this world has to offer. You think tonight of your soul. The Savior said, he uttered that great warning, "What would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You think of how awful that would be, to lose your soul. I wonder if you ever thought of that. Have you ever considered it? The prospect of your soul being lost. I want you to realize how awful that would be, regardless of how much money you may make or regardless of how much money you may possess. Young people, knowing that it's well with your soul, that's something that's far more important than great riches. I wonder, do you know that? Do you have that assurance? You know, the reality is this. There are many rich people in hell. You think just of the rich man that we're told about in Luke chapter 16 as a great example of that fact. The lesson is this. Money is not of any use when you come to die and when you come to face eternity. So there's a little about his love. As we think of the prodigal, think too about his longing. You look there at verse 13. It informs us, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." What we learn there is the prodigal had a longing, a deep longing, and a desire in his heart. And that longing was to get away from home, to get away as far as possible, to get away as far as possible from his home and from his family. It's always very sad when a young person wants to leave home. Of course, it has to be acknowledged that the fact is the young person is not always the one that is to blame. But think of the question, why? Why did this young man want to leave home? Well, one reason is so that his father wouldn't see, so that his father wouldn't know what he was doing, what he was doing with his money and what he was doing with his life. And you know that that is still the same today. Young people don't want their parents to know what they're up to. Young people don't want their parents to know the way that they're living. So they move away from home. They move away as far as possible. But young person, the reality is this. You can get away from your parents. You can get away from the view of your parents. That's something that is possible. But remember, you can never get away from God. I want to stress that, impress that upon your heart today. You can never hide from His view. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter what country you go to. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You can never get away from the eyes of God. Do you remember what Hagar declared? It's good for you to remember it too. Thou, God, seest me. I pray that you'll see that, that you'll consider that. Remember what Paul said too in the book of Hebrews? All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What that verse teaches us, one of the things it teaches us is the Lord sees everything. Everything in your life. Everything that you do. Do you remember what Hanani said to King Asa? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You learn in that text of Scripture that the Lord sees everywhere. He sees in every corner. He sees in every place. He sees in every land. He sees in every corner even of the earth. So young people, let me stress, God sees every person. God sees every place. God sees everything. Your parents, your relatives may never know, they may never see the things that you do, but God knows all. God knows all that you ever do, that all that you ever did. He knows all that you ever will do. And let me remind you that there's a judgment day that's coming. That is a day of answering, a day of accounting. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, especially speaking to the young people, he said, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And that's a thought, that's a fact that should trouble you. That's a fact that should concern you. So there's his longing. I want you to think as well about his lifestyle. At the end of verse 13 it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Just think of that statement. Riotous living. What a description. What a description of this young man's life. What a description of his behavior, his conduct. We learn here that he lived a wild life. He lived as a wild man. He didn't hold back from anything. He was a young man that when he got away from home, he ran after sin and pleasure. And he ran after those things with all his heart. Verse 30 makes mention of harlots, which suggests that he had been involved in immoral living. He lived a very sinful life. Everything that money could buy, everything that the world had to offer. He was a young man that had his hands full of sin, he had his hands full of evil. His hands were stained black with the wicked life that he lived. His lifestyle was sad, his lifestyle was shocking. And maybe you're the same. Maybe you have lived like the prodigal. Maybe you're guilty of such riotous living too. Maybe you'd have to admit that your life has been dark, your life has been black. And if it has been, then let me tell you confidently some good news. And the good news is this, that God can save you. God can change your life. Paul said when he was teaching in the book of Romans, that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So we want you to know, we want to declare to you today, with all of our hearts, that God's grace is greater than all of your sins. It doesn't matter how great your sin is. It doesn't matter how iniquitous your sin has been. His grace can still reach you, and His grace can still save you. If you look there at the beginning of the chapter, verse 2, we see that the scribes, the Pharisees, stated of the Saviour, "This man receiveth sinners." Now, when the Pharisees made that statement, they were ridiculing the Lord Jesus. They were ridiculing Him with that statement. But I want you to see that this is the gospel message. That is the invitation, the great invitation of the gospel. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, receiveth sinners. And the idea of the statement there, the idea of what's taught in this passage is that He receiveth the worst of sinners. He receives all sinners. So what that means is that He will receive you too, if you will come to Him today. And I want to urge you. I want to urge you to do that, to come to Christ. Even as you listen to this broadcast, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There's one other thing I want to emphasize about the prodigal. That is his loss. Look there at verse 14. It tells us, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Notice, here's a young man, and the result of the sinful path that he took was he lost everything. Here's a young man that lost everything that he had. Lost his money, lost his inheritance. He lost his home, lost his friends. Friends didn't want to know him after the money was gone. He lost his food, lost his comfort, and even lost his name. And there's a powerful lesson there, young people. And the lesson is that sin doesn't prosper. We pray that you'll see that. Pray that you'll come to learn that. Sin doesn't prosper. Sin is a hard taskmaster. The Word of God declares the way of transgressors is hard. And the prodigal learned that lesson, but he had to learn it by bitter experience. He learned a hard lesson in a very hard school. He learned it's a hard life being a sinner. And maybe you're learning that lesson too, by bitter experience. The New Testament records, it states of Barabbas, that he was a robber. Barabbas was a thief. And I want you to know that sin is just the same. Sin is a robber. Sin will rob you. Sin will rob you of everything that you have. It will take everything that you possess, all that you have in this world. And at last, it will take your soul. So think of this young man's loss. And you know, the worst thing is, he was lost himself. He hadn't just lost everything that he had. He hadn't just lost everything that he owned. He was lost himself. And just think of how tragic that is. If you look at verse 24, we're told, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." The same truth is stated again at the end of verse 32, "And was lost and is found." So we're left in no doubt. This young man, when he ran away from home to the far country, he was a young man that was lost. He was lost in his sins. And if you're out of Christ, if you're unsaved, we want you to see that this is your condition too. And it's your present condition at this very moment. And because you're lost today, because you're lost at this very moment, you're in great danger of being lost forever. You're in great danger of being lost eternally. And how serious, how awful that is. I want just to say to you as a close, I want to tell you of a great blessing. I want to tell you some good news. In fact, I want to tell you the best news that you will ever hear in all your life. And the news is this: there is one who is seeking for you. And that one is the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke tells us a little further on in his Gospel, chapter 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So young people, men and women, we want you to understand the Saviour is seeking, and he's seeking for sinners. The Saviour is seeking for you. And I pray that you'll take that and pray it might touch your heart. And remember that he's seeking for you for this reason, because he wants to save you. So what we want to do at the close of the message this evening is to urge you not to run away. Not to run away any longer. We want to urge you to return. Return not just to your earthly father. If you have left your home and your family, we do urge you to come back and to be reconciled to your loved ones again. But we want to urge you not just to return to your earthly father, but especially to return to your heavenly father. And ask today in prayer for his mercy. Ask today for his forgiveness. Ask today for his salvation. And if you do that, then verse 24 of this passage will be your testimony too. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So here's the plea of the Word of God to every prodigal to return from their sins to their heavenly Father and know the great spiritual blessings of salvation that he can bestow upon you. I want to urge you to do that. May the Lord write his word upon every heart.
Thank you to everyone for joining with us again this evening, and thank you to Grace and to Abigail for taking part. And we look forward to seeing you again tomorrow, Thursday, at 8 o'clock. We will be on Sermon Audio and on Facebook, on the church Facebook page. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us, especially if you've been saved at any point so far in the mission, we would love to hear from you. So please don't hesitate to get in touch. The contact details will be on screen. And even if you want to get in touch to talk about spiritual matters, then please don't hesitate to send us a message. So thank you again, everyone, for joining with us. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Sermon Audio or on the church Facebook page.